almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Back here, we're waiting for our next guest. We're a little bit difficult to find sometimes, being on a golf course. Hopefully, perhaps he's listening in. The bottom line is that, Scott, if you're out there, we're on the golf course right next to the Hertz Rent-A-Car entrance, which is next to the Enterprise. So it's a straight shot. We're on the left-hand side when you come in. Anyway, getting back to the news, probably heard this from other outlets, but including this, we have obviously four other prominent talk show hosts that are visiting these same subjects often. But Reverend Franklin Graham blasts the president's ISIS Christian moral equivalency. Reverend Graham, son of Billy Graham and head of the international aid organization Samaritan's Purse, is basically at odds with President Obama for remarks at the National Prayer Breakfast. The president equated the evils that ISIS is carrying out with the Christian violence of ages past. Some of our leaders, including President Obama, gathered to pray at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. recently. Graham remarked in a tweet, "I urge you to set aside time today to pray for our country also. May we repent and call on the name of the Lord," he said. Obviously good advice. What really set Reverend Graham, caused Reverend Graham concern was Obama's suggestion that religions are pretty much the same and equally capable of promoting violence toward the innocent. President Obama commented on the Jordanian pilot, which was set afire in a cage. Absolutely barbaric act. I can't tell you what it does to a man like myself to see a fellow human being treated like that, or to hear about Christians being beheaded there in Iraq by ISIS. President Obama, obviously defending the behavior, said the people in the Crusades did other barbarous acts. And obviously it's a point well taken, but it was 1,000 years earlier, of course. And besides Reverend Graham disputing the comparison, Catholic lead President Bill Donahue has called on the president to apologize for an attempt to deflect guilt from the Muslim madmen. He put it straight to the point. He said Obama's comparisons of modern-day terrorism to the Crusades and the Inquisition were insulting to Christians. And let's get President Obama's one of his chief advisors is the Reverend Al Sharpton. The bottom line is that Sharpton at one point stirred up some of his followers so that they set fire a department store because one of the vendors there, subletting a small space, was being evicted, and Sharpton got his followers, whether he wanted to or not, his rhetoric got them to burn the store down, and there were four or five employees in the store that burned to death. So we want Sharpton to explain his actions. We want Sharpton to be front and center. We want the mainstream media, this isn't the first time Reverend Sharpton has caused injury. His rhetoric could have caused the two policemen sitting in their cars protecting the public to be shot recently in New York City. This is not the kind of behavior that a reverend should be stirring up. So I urge President Obama to address that. And I think anybody, no matter what religion, doesn't want to see our policemen assaulted, killed, murdered like that. It just is terrible. Evil comes to mind, and it's evil to kill a pilot while he's captured, and the Jordanians have a right to be upset about it. We'd be upset about it if one of our pilots was captured too. Anyway, going on to some further items here until Scott Newcomer hopefully will arrive. There's an Afghan war hero who's stripped of his Silver Star. The Pentagon has been turned into too political of a organization. And basically, here's a man that was awarded a Silver Star, but because he dared criticize some of the things going on in Afghanistan, they basically took it away from him. They could never take away what he did. He's a hero. On February 20th, 2010, in the battle in Afghanistan, Marija that had been underway for a week, in order to seize the Afghan district, an IED-infested, Taliban-dominated collection of villages and crisscrossing canals and tree lines that were defending fighter's dream, the U.S. military had divided its force into thirds, a task force of more than 1,000 U.S. Marines accompanied by Afghan soldiers, assaulted the northern portion, ditto, at the central portion of the district. And the southern third had been attacked by a single U.S. Army Special Forces team consisting of 9 men accompanied by a handful of Marine engineers tasked with clearing the bombs from the roads and a few hundred Afghan troops that were more of a babysitting case than true partners. According to this article, I'm sure they were heroic in their own right. Such a light American footprint on at least part of the battlefield would put an Afghan face on the operation, and as the lingo went at the time. The Special Forces soldiers wore Afghan Army uniforms. The Taliban concluded that there was virtually no Americans on their southern flank. The fighting there was intense. Under heavy fire, this gentleman that got the Silver Star, Goldstein, was, as the Washington Post summarized, ran 150 meters to a trapped MRAP to retrieve a powerful 84-millimeter recoilless rifle, an anti-tank weapon. While moving under gunfire, he coordinated a medical evacuation of a wounded Afghan soldier and then opened fire with a recoilless rifle. Running through the open despite the fact the Taliban had successfully pinned down the rest of his men, Gulston looked like he was fighting alone. He was alone fighting 30 enemy fighters out in the poppy fields. He then coordinated airstrikes from an F-18 jet airplane Hornet and a drone silencing the enemy. The battle lasted 4 hours. For his action, Gulston was awarded the Silver Star and was told that the medal would likely be upgraded to a Distinguished Service Cross, the Army's equivalent of a Navy Cross. Now he's a major, but essentially he was quoted in a book making critical remarks about the American strategy in Afghanistan, and the Army launched a criminal investigation of his actions during the battle. Essentially, they yanked his Silver Star, and we have freedom of speech here in America, and we basically, I know in an Army organization you have to toe the line, but we support the major there.
Friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. Marathon meetings over eastern Ukraine resulting in some progress.
After 16 hours of talks in Belarus, Russia's President Vladimir Putin confirming a ceasefire is to start on Sunday and that heavy weaponry will be pulled back. But it's not clear if they also manage to strike a longer-term peace deal involving greater powers for areas held by pro-Russian separatists.
Fox Radio Simon Owen, one of the country's most respected journalists, 60 Minutes correspondent Bob Simon, killed in a car crash last night in Manhattan. CBS saying starting with Vietnam, he's reported from virtually every major battlefield around the world.
Some of the most difficult situations, including his own detainment by the Iraqis during the Gulf War.
That's 60 Minutes executive producer Jeff Fager on WCBS-TV. Simon was 73 years old. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm a salesperson at a replacement window company, and I'm saying do not replace all your windows right now. I'm Ted Koontz from Renewal by Anderson. In this weather, our customers only want to replace their worst windows and patio doors. So we're having a February Draftbuster sale. Replace just your four draftiest windows now, and your fifth window is free. You don't have to suffer another cold winter in your home, but you also don't have to replace all your windows. Replace just those four bad windows and get your fifth window free. And get incredible financing. Zero money down, zero payments, and zero interest for 1 year. Our February Draftbuster sale is almost over. Call for a free Renewal by Anderson brochure or DVD. Call 1-800-848-8811. 1-800-848-8811. 1-800-848-8811. That's 1-800-848-8811.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, we look at the entertainment industry and their seduction of particularly young people. And then I talked to Joel Richardson about his new film, End Time Eyewitness. He concludes that it's later than we think. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On February 1861, newly elected President Abraham Lincoln delivered a farewell speech in Springfield, Illinois, as he left for Washington, D.C. Lincoln stated, "I now leave, not knowing when or whether I may return, with a task before me greater than that which rested upon Washington. Abraham Lincoln continued, "Without the assistance of that divine being who ever attended him, I cannot succeed. With that assistance, I cannot fail. Trusting in him who can go with me and remain with you and be everywhere for good, let us confidently hope that all will yet be well."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back to New Day. This morning, we're really glad to have you with us. And we are very happy to welcome into the studio this morning Scott Newcomer, who is the head of the Christian Businessmen's Connection. Scott, welcome. We're so glad to have you here this morning.
Thank you, Susan. It's great to be here with you this morning.
We understand you live in Chester County. You're from the Williamsport area originally. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you became involved in this organization?
Sure. Yeah, I actually was in and lived, grew up in Williamsport, came down to this area to go to college. I went to Eastern College and was planning on you asking me that question.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on this spot.
That's okay.
My family has connections to Williamsport.
We were just talking about that out there.
My dad and my sister still has a hunting camp, Bub Trout Run.
It turns out that Scott has a hunting camp up there, too. We're very close.
Oh, wow, that's interesting
to find out. Well, let's get right into talking about the Christian Businessmen's Group. How long has it been around?
Actually, CBMC started back in 1930.
Uh-huh.
Back in 1930, there was a great stock market crash. Christian men in Chicago actually saw their coworkers literally jumping out of windows because they had no hope anymore. All their finances and things were gone, and they didn't think they had any reason to live, and they cashed in their life insurance policies, and they said, "We have to do something." And so they started having meetings to try to share the good news that they had with these men. And it turned into a six-week program, turned into a six-month program, and actually ran continuously for 26 years.
That's what I didn't know that. So they were formed to encourage one another at a very difficult time.
To encourage one another, but really to encourage the people that don't have hope, people that don't have a faith connection with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what they saw is the Holy Spirit just worked there and just moved in those men's lives and draw men. And they realized that men in the marketplace really do have an interest in faith in addition to their business world. And so what started then is, it was a ministry just in Chicago, became a nationwide ministry, and now we're in 70 different countries, over 50,000 people worldwide.
That's wonderful.
So it's a pretty exciting organization to be part of.
How long have you been involved with it?
Actually, this is my 25th year. It's hard to imagine. And my father-in-law, my father-in-law is the one that introduced me to it.
It sounds like you had a very close connection with him, and he was quite an influence in your life.
Yeah. he was. And it was just really powerful because I was working at Siemens Corporation at that point,
mm-hmm.
and just trying to do a good job. And I knew Christ at that point, but I had been going to good churches. But it was really helpful to be aligned with a group of men that really felt serious about their faith in the marketplace, and always felt that that's where God wanted them to be, and that they had a passion for that, passion for doing their work well, but also a passion for being. Well, now we call it ambassadors in the marketplace. They didn't use that word back then, but for being relevant and for being active in the marketplace.
This morning I was thinking of a scripture, which is 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." And then I heard a song God just needs a few good men. And I thought, how appropriate that you're coming in this morning, and what you're saying right now just reinforces that. He only needs a few good men, and how encouraging you can be to one another, and how encouraging you can be to the whole business, not only the business community, but to the nation and the world as a whole.
You know, it's interesting that you work with hard-charging, accomplishment-oriented guys, but you don't have to scratch the surface too much to see there's a lot of hurt there.
Yeah. Well, that's life. That's the way it is. So we press on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then you really see the reason that God has called men to be in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And
well, don't you find too that it gives you an opportunity to talk to people you might never see or communicate with in any other way? Well, I mean, you might be on the phone with somebody you would never have another opportunity to talk to except through business.
Well, and you're making a great point. I mean, one of the things that we try to get our men to see is that they're missionaries. Because in essence, a missionary is going someplace that, it's maybe a different culture and a place that, very few other people have access to.
Right.
When you think of the people that we work with on a day, they might never come to our churches. They might not have an inclination.
Exactly.
But because of where God has you in the business world, you're uniquely placed to have an influence there.
That's right. All we need to be is available.
That's right. And that's the part that's so exciting for me, because so often, it felt like I had to do things. I had to produce and I had to be a certain way. But when I realized that, just say, Holy Spirit, use me.
All you have to do is show up.
Yeah. And things just start happening.
That's right.
And so that's what motivates me, actually, is just to really encourage Christian men that God has them there for a reason.
And that's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So would you say the main focus of the ministry then is helping men to be encouraged in their faith, or how would you describe it?
Yeah, that's interesting, because really recently what the vision of the ministry is evangelism and discipleship in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those two focuses of evangelism and discipleship, and in the last couple of years we've really been seeing God kind of brought this idea of an ambassador. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors for Christ of reconciliation with the Father, and so to really call guys to be ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And marketplace ambassadors. And Susan, it's kind of interesting if you think of what an ambassador is. An ambassador is somebody that is a resident of one place, but that is physically located someplace else.
Yes.
And it says that when we accept Christ, we become citizens of heaven.
Right.
And so we're citizens of heaven, but we are someplace else. And so, and Paul says we are ambassadors, but there's another classification of when you're a citizen one place and you're someplace else, mm-hmm. and that's a tourist. When you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. And so, a tourist is there for themselves. They're there to have fun. They're there to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with being a tourist. But an ambassador there is representing the homeland. They have a mission. They have a purpose. And so really challenging men to say, are you walking as ambassadors or are you walking as tourists?
That's an excellent distinction.
Yeah.
A beautiful picture.
Yeah. And
what
so,
our purpose is to
and,
be.
And then and when they get that picture and they see, wow, I'm an ambassador. It says being an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and say, okay, so what are the aspects of being an ambassador?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first is having intimacy with Christ, being able to share your faith, being able to disciple other people. And so our ministry then is to really help Christian businessmen to become marketplace ambassadors. And so so there's all those different facets to kind of help them to see that role and to be equipped and empowered and to really walk in that role.
That's a wonderful explanation and description. Thank you. That's really good. If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Scott Newcomer, who is the head of the Christian Businessmen's Connection here in this area. How does this organization, Christian Businessmen's Connection, relate to the churches in the area, Scott?
Well, that's a great question. Honestly, sometimes churches look at us a little bit competitively, and honestly, we see the church as the central part of God's plan. And so if you think of a church, their ministry tends to be around where people live and where their church is. Mm-hmm. But all those people then on, you know, Monday through Friday, they fan out to work at different places. And people from different churches go and work in different places. Right. And so we try to have our ministry where people work,
right,
not where people live. And so, but we need to have relationships with good churches, because then when people accept Christ as we're discipling them, we want to plug them into good churches
so they can get the teaching and grounding.
Exactly.
That they need.
Yeah. Because we don't want to be a church. That's not what God has called us to do. So we stand beside. We like to stand beside the church.
Great. What sorts of things does the organization do?
Well, right now we have 20 teams of men. Where God has called me to is to be the area director. It's called the Mid-Atlantic region, which is eastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware.
It is a big area.
Currently, we have 20 teams of guys in that area. Some of those teams meet weekly, mm-hmm, and it's called a Connect 3 meeting. And the idea there is to have a time of fellowship, a time of intimacy, of growing in the Lord, mm-hmm, you know, intimacy with the Father, and a time of just praying for needs, but also praying specifically for lost people that are in your sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. And so we use a thing called a 10 Most Wanted card, where we encourage each guy to ask God, you know, where you have me placed in my mission field, if you will, you know, where are you moving? You know, Scripture says that no one comes to Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws them. Right. And so Lord, where are you moving specifically where I'm working, and to be praying for those people that he puts on your heart. And to use that weekly meeting as a time to be equipped and to be praying for that and to be praying for each other. So that's the weekly meeting. We do things called outreach lunches and breakfasts, where we bring a Christian businessman in just to share how God has impacted his life. And what that is, it's an opportunity to bring and invite the other business people that you've been building relationships with to hear a message about how relationship with God has impacted a man.
That's wonderful. We're coming down to about 30 seconds left in this segment, so I wonder if you would be able to stay on for the next segment.
Sure, that'd be great.
Because there's some other questions we would like to ask about, you know, some more details about your organization. This is Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, and you're listening to New Day here on WFYL 1180. Thank you for joining us.
Every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we are having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Before coming to head this organization, I worked in television news, both at the local and network levels, and I remember a joke line I'd often hear in the newsroom. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. It was truly meant as a joke because we all understood our duty to unflinchingly report the facts and not embellish them to make for a more compelling but ultimately untrue story. So with the stunning revelation that NBC Nightly News anchor Brian Williams lied about being on an Army helicopter that took enemy fire while he was covering the Iraq War, he becomes the joke. There should be consequences for failing such an important duty to be truthful. But there are definitely consequences for these outright lies, further distrust of the mainstream media. Morality and ethics truly do matter. We need to fight for a return to integrity in the media and in government. The Pennsylvania Family Institute website is pafamily.org.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here on WFYL. We're so glad to have you with us this morning, and we are delighted to be joined here in the studio with Scott Newcomer, who is the head of the Christian Businessmen's Connection Group. Scott, welcome back. Thank you for staying. You were telling us a little bit more about the details of the meetings, where they are in this area. You've been with the organization for many years.
Right. This is my 25th year, actually, with the organization. I was a volunteer one of the guys for a number of years, and then felt like God called me to step out of my corporate role and resign and follow him in full-time ministry. And so I've been the area director. This is my 10th year of being the area director for
That's
CBMC.
Wonderful.
So, it's, in essence, CBMC is a ministry, so I'm, in essence, like a missionary, just mm-hmm. trying to serve the Christian businessmen in this area and trying to encourage them and strengthen them to be serve as marketplace ambassador. As we talked about, to try to walk like an ambassador, not as a tourist in your marketplace.
That's wonderful. If men are listening this morning and they are interested in attending one of the meetings, can you give them the contact information so they could find out?
Sure, absolutely. Probably the easiest way over the radio is just to look for cbmc.com. That's, Christian Businessmen's Connection, cbmc.com. And then that's our national website. There's lots of great tools there. But then you can drill down. They have different areas and regions for the Philadelphia area. People can always give me a call on my cell phone, which is 610-304-1493, 610-304-1493. And we also have a local website, but I won't give you all those letters, but we'll get you connected. As I said, we have 20 different teams. We have teams for just the average businessman, and we also have monthly teams for Christian business owners that want to meet together in confidential groups of 6 to 8 guys just to really talk about what's it mean to be a steward of the business. The one challenge with the business owners, they work so hard for the businesses, but to realize God says he owns it all. Mm-hmm. And so that if mm-hmm. God really owns our businesses, then we're really acting as stewards. And what does that mean? And so we have monthly meetings where guys can talk about that and what's it mean to steward their customers and their employees and their margins, and then to work in that area. And just neat times when men have had an opportunity to really stand up for God and to be a light in the marketplace, both to their employees and to their customers. And, how often, are you looking at the boss and kind of watching what he does and watching how he responds to things, and maybe you're not even telling him what you're seeing. But so these men, their employees are looking at them that way. And so to kind of give them that awareness that it's a big job that God's called them to be a Christian business owner.
Yes, it's been entrusted to them.
Yes,
that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
There must be many stories in your years. Are there any that come to mind right off?
Oh, wow.
You would like to share?
Yeah. I mean, just as you said, the one that's kind of fun is one of the things we do when we have these luncheon or breakfast events, and we just bring businessmen out to let them hear the story of another businessman, of how God has impacted his life. And I can just remember a few years ago, there was a man that was involved in a Christian company. He came, he had been invited out a number of times, and then sometimes we give them cards, and if they check off a box they want to be followed up, they want some more information, then we'll just do office visitation. We go to see them. And so a friend of mine,
this is very emotional, I can tell, for you.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if, the emotion kind of gets you because you see the man, and so we a friend of mine, John, and I met with a guy probably 4 o'clock one afternoon, just stop by and say hello, see if he has any questions. He invited us to his office, and he just kept asking questions about the gospel. It was very warm to us. We talked about how to have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He expressed that he really wanted that in his life, and as a result of that, he developed a discipleship relationship with John, my friend that was there. They met weekly, and then they still meet monthly. And going through, we have a discipleship material called Operation Timothy, that helps a man understand what God's Word says, and some key passages about being a man of God. And they went through that together, and that man has now, he shares his testimony, and he reaches out to other men and hurting guys and impacts them. And so it's just fun to see, just what Jesus said, as you go, share the gospel, and to see that's kind of the idea that you really are not a mature believer unless you're reproducing, unless you're able to share your testimony, unless you're really pouring yourself into another person. And that's part of being an ambassador, but how exciting it is to see that new birth, that exciting to see that growth, and it's often said that it's fun to see somebody, receive Christ, receive that into their life, make that decision, but how much more fun it is when that person then shares the gospel and you see somebody else receive Christ. You see that spiritual reproduction is what we call it, and that really is pretty powerful.
It's eternal work.
It is. It really is. And and the exciting thing is, again, is God does call some people to go to mission fields and call some people to go different places. But really, for most of us, he wants us to have that missionary mindset right where we're working.
And it's always been that way.
It's always
That's
been
what
that
Jesus
way.
Did from the beginning when he called fishermen, tax collectors, and so on.
If you look at all the examples of where Jesus did his ministry, mm-hmm. By far the majority of them are in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of think that, and where people are coming together and how powerful that is.
That's really wonderful. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. And it's exciting because it's alive, the living word.
It is alive.
It's marvelous. I'm sure you have many other stories to share, but we'll just say thank you for coming and encourage any men who are listening out there to contact you at CBMC.com. That stands for Christian Businessmen's Connection.com. CBMC. If you're interested in finding a group in your area, is there anything else, Scott, you would like to add?
Well, actually, one of the things that we did just do with our CBMC website is we added a whole bunch of online tools, interactive discipleship tools, and more information about Marketplace Ambassador tools, and even some video clips that are very encouraging. So, encourage guys to go out to cbmc.com and just spend some time there and look at the advanced system, and it's all free, and just to enjoy and see what God has for them.
And I'm sure they can be very encouraged and uplifted and find like-minded people.
Absolutely.
In this group. Well, we thank you so much. We've been talking with Scott Newcomer here this morning with the Christian Businessmen Connection. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Talk with you.
Yes, thank you.
It was well worth waiting for Scott. I think it's in the Bible, the last shall be first. And this is really an inspirational interview we had. And I advise everybody to get a hold of Scott and his organization, because they're doing Christ's work here on earth.
Well, I think, Al, you had a few other things you would like to wrap up with this morning?
I could wrap up here with just a few brief items. Mike Huckabee, as many of our listeners realize, is running for president, or at least on the verge of running for president. And, of course, they're attacking him left and right. One of the things that when he was a teenager, he wrote an anti-dancing column. He didn't say you were going to HE Two Sticks if you dance, but he made a few comments as a teenager. And if that's the only thing they can find on Mike Huckabee, they need to basically resign and follow Mr. Williams to retirement. But anyway, we wish Mike Huckabee the best, and we're sad that in this station we'll back him no matter what the mainstream media digs up on him, as long as it's things like this.
We thank you for listening this morning. We ask you to stay informed and have a wonderful day.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason.